Afternoon. Happy Sabbath, everybody. How many people have had the chance at some point to go to one of the big pro sports Hall of Fames, like baseball up in Cooperstown or NFL in Canton? Okay, just a few of you. Well, I'm just going to warn you all right now. If you're not sports fans, I'm going to use some sports metaphors. So sorry about that. Just bear with me. Well, I grew up a little over an hour from Canton, so I've been to the NFL Hall of Fame. And if you're a fan at all, it fills you with kind of a sense of awe as you walk through those halls. You know, you walk past busts of these different men that you've seen over the years, either watching them when you were a kid or just hearing stories about them, you know, these legends about sports figures that crop up over the years. And it just feels larger than life. It's like a superhero museum or something. Everything there is just designed to make you feel the weight of those people's accomplishments and everything that they managed to do. And I think the thing that makes you feel in such awe is that you know that in a million years, you could never do the stuff that they did. You know, I struggle through a game of pickup basketball every now and then, as some people here know. So I couldn't make the NBA Hall of Fame. It's just not going to happen. Well, there's a passage of scripture that I think often gets treated kind of like a Bible Hall of Fame. Let's go there. It's in Hebrews 11. We'll just kind of hang out there in Hebrews 11 for a while. In Hebrews 11, we'll start right at the beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Okay, that's the preface here to what people usually call the faith chapter. And it's because it's all about how the men and women of the Hebrew Scriptures lived by faith. And because of their faith, they were pleasing to God and they were used by him in powerful ways. Let's go to verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Verse 6, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." That's awesome stuff. And it just gets more awesome as you keep reading through, because then you read about Abraham, the father of the faithful. What a title that is, right? You read about how he and Sarah were recipients of just awesome, wonderful promises because of their faith. It is looking like a real faith Hall of Fame so far. Now let's drop down to verse 13, because it just gets more and more awesome. Verse 13, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." Well, after this, it goes on to list the other patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob. It talks about the feats of Moses, who led the nation of Israel up to entering the promised land. Then it talks about the judges who ruled Israel in kind of their equivalent time of like our Wild West, right? What a list of heroes, of men and women that were titans of the faith. People with enormous achievements. It's a true faith Hall of Fame, right? Well, I think, yeah, in a way. But I do think that if we read Hebrews 11 and only come away with this awe and this reverence at these people as kind of all-time greats of the faith, I think we've missed the point that's being made here in this whole chapter. And I don't think looking at Hebrews 11 really as a faith hall of fame is really the best way to look at it. Because then the chapter offers just a little turn, a twist, at the very end that shows us that it's really less about the great achievements of these people who came before us, and really the point is about what it means for you and what it means for me. Let's drop down to verse 39 and we'll see where it takes us. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So we spent all that time just going down through this laundry list of all-time great people who were following God and living faithfully. And then it just brings it right back around to tying into our story and our walk of faith. So I think really more than a faith hall of fame, Hebrews 11 is kind of like a faith halftime pep talk. The thing about all these heroes of the faith that we read about here in Hebrews 11 is that for all their accomplishments, all the wonderful things they did, all of the faith that they had, they were still just people. People like you and me. One of the most remarkable things about the Bible is that throughout its entire pages, from beginning to end, it is painfully honest about people. Even the good guys, maybe especially the good guys. You know, from Abraham on, it seems like for every single spiritual victory that somebody had, there was a defeat not far behind. Abraham had plenty of failures, didn't he? Moses wasn't even allowed to enter the promised land when he got the nation there. Now, most of Lot's time in the Bible is pretty negative. And Samson, he's here in Hebrews 11. I don't think there's a single one of the Ten Commandments that he didn't break in those three little chapters that he has in the Bible. When you actually look at these people, when you look at what they did, they seem a whole lot more human, don't they? They seem a whole lot more like you and me. And that's what gives us so much hope for our own lives. That's what Hebrews 11 is leading us to. When we really look at what's going on here, we can see that the faith chapter isn't so much a Christian hall of fame. It's a place where we just walk down the hallowed halls and we gaze in reverence upon these great people who came before us. People who could do the things that we never could do through their own power, through their own strength. No, it's more like that halftime pep talk. It's a cheer of, you can do it. It's saying, look, we're getting down to crunch time, folks. It's not easy. There's a lot of work left to do. But we're all in this together. You, me, and everybody who came before us. And if they could do it, with all of their faults, with all of their flaws, then you can do it too. Now, I know there are a lot of Christians who struggle with feelings of inadequacy and, you know, feeling like we're never good enough. And maybe it's not even any use because we're just never going to make it. We're just not good enough. We'll never be faithful enough. We'll never be obedient enough. Well, if you feel that way sometimes, then I got good news for you. I got some bad news, too. The bad news is that you're right. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to fully please God in every last little thing that you do. You're going to always fall short of His holiness. His level of perfection, it is beyond us. But the good news is that just like you, just like me, Abraham wasn't good enough. Moses wasn't good enough. In fact, there's only been one person in the entire history of the world who was good enough. And the very good news is that He's the one that we can look to, and He's the one who makes it possible for us to have living faith as well. Let's hop back in here to Hebrews and finish up. Now, the chapter break here between the end of 11 and the beginning of 12 is really unhelpful, actually, because the first couple of verses here in chapter 12, that's where chapter 11 is leading us the whole time. Chapter 12, let's read verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all of those great people we just read about in chapter 11, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. It doesn't have any part of what we're doing right now. Let's just get rid of it. Let's not dwell on it. Let's move past that. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who started our journey of faith, and you better believe he's the one who's going to finish it. What the faith chapter is really doing here is it's showing us how we, like everybody who came before us, we put our faith and our hope in God. We look to him and we follow him every last step of the way. It's not about comparing ourselves to anybody else. It's not about just staring in awe at people who have come before us. It's looking forward to the one who makes it possible for all of us, not just the big names of the Bible, but for every last one of us and everybody that God calls from here on out to follow him in faith. So, next time you feel like you need a little jolt or a little pep talk in your Christian walk, just go ahead, pick up your Bible, turn to the faith chapter. And don't just stop at the end of chapter 11. Keep going into chapter 12. And instead of just being at all at these amazing servants of God who came before us and the things that they did in faith, be in awe at the God who makes it possible for us to obtain salvation along with him.